Tonight's lesson, if you looked at the bulletin, is entitled The Benefits of a Good Eldership. The Benefits of a Good Eldership. I like most sports, but there's a game that I have trouble watching it on TV, and I have even more trouble playing it, and that's golf. And every sport I ever participated in was go as hard as you possibly can, and golf is not that way. Golf is a maddening game. You have to have great technique, and it takes a lot of practice. One thing that golf teaches us, among others, is that we can't always take the easy way out of a difficult situation. There is a middle strip on a golf course called the fairway, and it's short grass that is easier to hit off of, and then there is what's called the rough. And the rough is a little bit thicker grass. And while it might be easy to say, oh, well, I hit it in the rough, let me go ahead and toss that back on the fairway, that's against the rules. If you land in the rough, you got to play the ball from the rough. We notice that young Titus in the book of Titus, if you'll turn over there, found himself in the rough. He had been left in Crete, charged with the task of building up the Lord's work there, but he encountered problems. The Cretans were generally deceitful, immoral, and lazy. And this spirit had invaded the churches. You know, we can look to modern times and see this same principle. Our society, people tend to work harder to be lazier. Try to put more effort into being lazy than they would if they would just go ahead and do the job. We have found in the church that attitude, as well as people wanting to bring in social drink. People wanting to bring in reading books they shouldn't read, seeing movies they shouldn't see. And all of these different things are poisoning the Lord's church and poisoning us individually as well. Problems that people were causing were reasons for division. And Paul realized that his friend Titus needed encouragement. So he wrote to him. In that letter, Paul gave Titus the qualifications for elders. In those qualifications, Titus was going to have a list of things to see in the men there that would qualify them to be leaders. This wasn't for show, but for the goals of Christian living. There was a congregation that Lisa and I used to attend, and there was a man that really wanted to be an elder there. And when the eldership had mentioned that they were going to be looking to install new elders and deacons, this guy turned it into a political contest. And he would look on the wall to see pictures as people were walking up the sidewalk to the building. Him and his wife would find where they were, find their name, and go out the front door, greet them. Hey, brother so-and-so, it sure is good to see you. Very immature. Very immature. I'm glad that others picked up on that, because he would have been a terrible elder. He was doing it for personal gain. But whenever we find ourselves in a difficult place, we don't help ourselves by looking for the easy way out. Sometimes things are just going to be difficult. And in most of those cases, we should look to the leadership. And in some, and hopefully few cases, we have to be that leadership. In congregations that don't have elderships, it can be more difficult, because you have men who should be elders and aren't qualified taking that leadership role. We should all be striving to meet the qualifications of elders. And I say that in the sense of no woman can be a one-wife man. That just doesn't work. Men are the ones that are qualified to be elders, but there are certain personality attributes that we all as individuals can hope to attain. Sometimes, and in most cases, when trouble comes, we should look to our elders. We should look to the leadership of the congregation. Instead, by exercising our faith in God and facing the challenge, we can battle our way through the problem, working under the oversight of sound men to help in our growth toward the heavenly goal. We'll become better people, and we'll discover that God can make us victorious. It's a theme through the Bible. We're the winners. Love being a winner. So the church is not an institution for perfect people. It is a sanctuary for sinners saved by grace, a nursery for God's sweet children to be nurtured and to grow strong. And it is the fold for Christ's sheep and the home for Christ's family. The church is the dearest place on earth. And having qualified elders is a blessing that we should never take for granted. We're definitely blessed here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. One of the benefits of having a good eldership is that we have men who are truly overseers. This comes from the Greek word episkopos. Episkopos means guardian or overseer. If we break that word down, epi means over or upon, and skopos is goal or end or one that has in view. So the word scope comes from different words that we see today, like microscope or telescope, or one of my favorites, kaleidoscope. So we have all these different scopes, and these come from the Greek word. So we look to Titus chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. We see this word, episkopos, found five times in the New Testament. The first time we find it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If you'll turn with me over there, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Luke wrote, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." When we look to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul in the introduction uses the word episkopos. In Philippians 1 verse 1, we read, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons." When we look over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, we again find another list of the qualifications of elders. And in this we find, "Therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach." Having oversight of a congregation is no trivial or light matter, but rather a sobering responsibility. The writer of Hebrews warn leaders that they'll be held responsible to God for how faithfully they have overseen the sheep. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 18, if you'll turn with me over there, we'll see what the Hebrew writer wrote. In Hebrews 13, verses 17 through 18, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." It will be of no advantage to us to frustrate our elders. Absolutely no benefit comes to us to intentionally be slack in our service to upset them. They have plenty on their plate. So we're going to break down the first couple of words here in Hebrews 13, 17, and 18. Obey. This is a command to the sheep, and that is in the present imperative. We must obey our leaders and submit. Again, present imperative. This commands a continuous placing of oneself under the leadership of the eldership. And for there to keep watch, literally, remain sleepless, picturing the effort necessary to remain on the alert and vigilant. I'm sure if we were to talk to any of our elders this evening, if they have had sleepless nights over issues going on in the congregation, if they had sleepless nights going over people that weren't staying faithful, different types of problems, I'm sure it would be a resounding yes among our elders. If you turn with me over to 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, we find the final place we see the word episkopos. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What we see here is the ultimate overseer, where episkopos is used of the Lord to describe His care of the souls of His sheep. We have overseers here at the congregation, but we have an ultimate overseer in God the Father. Elders make decisions on the budget, property, events, order of worship, songbooks, repair, building repair, etc. And you know, some of these qualifications relate to the aspect of the job. It's like God had this all planned out, huh? We see not greedy for money, not covetous of others' possessions, having a good report from those outside of Christ, being of good behavior and being blameless. To oversee the business affairs of the congregation is only one role of the eldership, but we have to have men who don't have any of those issues. Being greedy is not going to be a good isn't a good quality in a man, much less an elder. Some have suggested that episkopos derives its sense from the city administrator, inspector, or financial manager of Greek culture. And the New Testament usage, however, more closely parallels that of the Essene Jews of the Qumran community. There were five different sects of the Jews. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Herodians, and the Zealots. When we look to the Essenes, the overseers among them preached, taught, presided, exercised care and authority, and enforced discipline. Those functions more closely mirror that of the New Testament overseer than the more broad use of the term in Greek culture. Thomas Oden once said, "Episkopos implies vigilance far more than hierarchy." So what we find is just because someone is advanced in age does not mean that they are going to be qualified to be an elder. Episkopos is a word with great literary history. In Homer's Iliad, Hector, the great champion of the Trojan, is called the Episkopos, who during his lifetime guarded the city of Troy safe to its nobles, wives, and infants. In Plato's Laws, the guardians of the state are those whose duty it is to oversee the gains, the feeding and education of the children. They may be sound of hand and foot, but in no ways, if possible, get their natures warped by their habits, is what was said by the overseers in dealing with the children. The people whom Plato called market stewards are the episkopoi, who supervise personal conduct, keeping an eye on the temperate and outrageous behavior so as to punish him who needs punishment. Episkopos is therefore a many-sided but always noble word. It means the protector of public safety, the guardian of honor and honesty. They oversee the right education and of public morals, and the administrator of public law and order. So then to call God the Episkopos of our souls is to call Him our guardian, our protector, our guide, and our director. And elders function in the same way over the local congregation, being overseers. This morning, the eldership presented a new budget, and they have spent much time in preparation and prayer for this new budget. As we have prospered, if we can give more, we should, because we know that being under the oversight of this eldership, that they have painstakingly studied and prepared this new budget. If this is something that they present to us, we should do our best to meet that budget because we have faith in our eldership. So, we look at our second point. The benefits of a good eldership is to counsel. That comes from the Greek word presbyteros. The secular practice was for older men with seniority to serve as ambassadors to other states and as advisors within the Greek political community or in the management of public affairs. It should be emphasized that in its context, the biblical use of the concept of elder had less to do with age per se than the quality of one's character. The last word I was able to put every scripture down for because it was found five times in the New Testament. This word, presbyteros, is found 66 times in the New Testament, and we don't have time to go through all of those. I had offered to preach until midnight, even with the freezing conditions, but I would have been preaching to myself, going over these 66 verses. That makes me laugh. Preach till midnight. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 is a place where we can go for that. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every place with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The term elder signifies one who is older and has the wisdom and experience of years on his side. In the Old Testament, the elders of the city counseled its inhabitants. We found this in Ruth. Chris did an excellent series on Ruth. And one of the things that Boaz did in Ruth chapter 4 was to go to the Redeemer, the one who had the opportunity to marry Ruth. And he went to the Redeemer, and he also called 10 men of the elders of the city. We see this counseling in reference back to Titus 1:8 as well. Older men are in a great position to give us good advice regarding life in general. It's interesting. Unfortunately, we have a denominational mindset that has crept into the church today in the pastor system, that people will want to come and talk to Chris or want to come and talk to me before they'll want to go and talk to our elders. Now, Chris and I are cool dudes. You can hold off on the amens. Chris and I are neat guys, but we're still young. We have men here who are elders that can give excellent counsel. We need to keep that in consideration so we don't put Chris or I in a position of the denominational pastorship. It's okay to come to people who are Christians for advice, but we need to be looking to our elders to give us that advice because they watch over our souls. Jewish elders, and this is the primary idea in 44 uses of this word, this presbyteros. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, this word is used. And it says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third day and be raised. These elders in the Jewish community were usually associated with the scribes and Pharisees. And at the time of Jesus, the elders seemed to refer especially to those who were members of the Sanhedrin. Again, we see this in Mark chapter 14 and verse 53. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 53, what they find, and they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chiefs and the elders and the scribes came together. The elders, in this instance, were other members of the Sanhedrin. To have elders like we have here at North Jefferson, if you want advice, if you want guidance, you are doing yourself a disservice by not talking to our elders. The eldership has been a great benefit to me, and I'm sure many here when coming and seeking advice and decisions to be made. I would encourage you to talk to our elders when you want advice or if you need help with something. We have men who are qualified to do this. We look at our third point this evening. The benefits of having a good elder or a good eldership is we have men who are ready to shepherd. That comes from the Greek word poimen, and that is found 17 times in the New Testament. Again, I will not be addressing all 17 references. But we can look to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, and we see this word front and center. 1 Peter 2:25 we referenced earlier. We'll reference it again. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, that being God. I love this verse because we find episkopos as well as poimen both used. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul wrote, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we read, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfeigning crown of glory. This is the largest role the Bible describes. An elder is to be a shepherd. If you can't be under the oversight of the shepherds here, trust me, you are not under the oversight of the great shepherd. You are not under the oversight of God if you are acting out against qualified men who are elders. I know, again, these elders have spent much time in prayer, in preparation, in shepherding this flock. I'm still excited about the meeting we had a few weeks ago, the State of the Church meeting. One of the things that our eldership is wanting to do is meet with every family throughout this year. And these aren't going to be long meetings. Don't expect them to bring a sleeping bag and sleep in your living room. They're coming to see you in your home or meet you for dinner or something along those lines, because these men care about everyone's soul. It's an exciting time to be a member here at North Jefferson. An elder is to be a shepherd. He provides a good example to the church when it comes to work ethic. We never see a shepherd in the Bible who was lazy, and God would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We don't see that. When we look to our eldership, we look to see an example of work ethic. He must be involved in teaching, and he must also guard against false teacher, whether from outside or from inside. And it's good to know that we have men who are elders that can stop false doctrine. That if someone comes into our midst to teach something that's false, we have men who are ready to stand up and say, "This is not what the Bible says." And we also have men who will be effective in sharing the gospel with those outside of Christ. We've got some fantastic shepherds here that fall right in line with the poimon Greek word. So, what is the benefit of having a good eldership? The benefit of having a biblical eldership is to have overseers. We find that in episkopos, men who cover over many of the business-related side of things and oversee the physical aspects of the congregation. We have to counsel. We have presbyteros. We have elders who have experience with life, who can work with younger Christians or Christians who need help. They don't have to be younger. My father-in-law is the director at Brown Trail. And there was a couple of years ago, a man went through the program that was 10 years older than him. And the man walked in his office and said, "Bob, I need some fatherly advice." Bob thought, 10 years younger. But we knew the type of advice that was needed to be given. And we have elders who are able to give that advice. And most importantly, the benefits of a good eldership is that they shepherd. That poimon. We have an eldership that cares about the flock. That is a benefit to us. They seek ways for us to grow. So when it comes to the benefits of a good eldership, we can see it in their ability to oversee, to counsel, and to shepherd. I'd like to give you a challenge this week. Everybody gets a challenge this week. Maybe except Avonlea. Avonlea doesn't have the challenge this week. I want you to go out of your way this week to thank one of our shepherds or to a shepherd that you know. Go out of your way and say thank you for the sleepless nights, the tears you've shed. Thank you for the hard work that you put in. That's your challenge, if you choose to accept it. This evening, if you're not right with God, do whatever it takes to get right with God. We can never know what everyone is enduring, but much like golf, when your ball gets hit in the rough, sometimes you just shank the shot, turned off on its own. Other times the wind will blow it. Your fault or not your fault, when times get rough, you don't just get to throw the ball and quit. Let us help you get through the rough. And if you're not a Christian, we want to get you up on the tee. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, we'd love to study with you and show you in Scripture how to become a Christian. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Hello, I'm Chris Grota, one of the ministers here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. I want to thank you for listening today. Is there something that we can do for you? Can we help you have a better understanding of God's holy word? We would love to study the Bible with you and answer the questions pertaining to salvation. If you'd like to investigate more about this, We'd invite you to go to beingsaved.org. Again, that's beingsaved.org to find the answers to the most important questions you could ever ask, and that is, what must I do to be saved? After looking at that, and you'd still like to have a private Bible study, or is there something that we could do to help you obey the gospel, we'd like for you to be able to contact us at the church building at 903-572-1136. Again, that number is 903-572-1136. Or visit us online at www.njcofc.com.